All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God. Sing that one more time. All hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore,
you may be seated. It's good to be in the house. It is good to be in the house. No place I'd rather be. Go ahead, sis.
Good morning, body. I'm always so nervous. I gotta push through. So I just wanted to come up here and identify. I was so tired yesterday, but when I came through these doors to clean, he gave me so much energy. I did more than I would have done anywhere else.
Amen.
I'm doing it because he promised.
Right.
He provides.
Yeah.
He always provides.
Come on.
Amen.
And I just love him.
Amen.
I don't know what else I was gonna say. I had other stuff to say, but I don't know. God bless you guys.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. There was scripture that something that was being said that always threw me off, and I knew it, but I didn't know it. And Wednesday night, now I know it. And it was, when you read any scripture, you should be able to see yourself.
Amen.
And I thought, well, I mean, I can see myself in the bride scripture. Then Jeremiah said something that was not even associated with that, and it was just that last piece that connected the whole thing. What was he talking about? He's talking about the Bible is the Word.
Yeah.
You should be able to see the Word or yourself, because that's what that true token is. The true token is the Word itself living in you. What is the Bible? It's the word of God.
Right.
And that's why you should be able to see yourself in every single scripture. Because
right.
Where were you?
Well, yeah.
I was, back when he was up there, I was dancing and joyfully in the mind of God.
Right.
Now I can do it physically. Now he knows I would do that.
Right.
Now he knows that I would say amen to every word. Before he, until it manifested, it was just a thought until it manifested. Good thought and a good saying. But now I can say, well, here's the full manifestation of everything you were wanting, God, from the before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Here it is, and that we believe this because we can see ourselves in the entire scripture. Because we can see ourselves as being a part of you, the word itself.
Right.
All right, Sister Sue, and then we were followed by Brother Warren and Brother Micah.
I just wanted to identify too and praise God for being able to be here. You know, we are so blessed to be in this, living in this end time and receiving this word that we all get every time we come. This is no better place to be except in this end of the age bride. You know, the seven church age bride is finished. I'm so glad to be a part of all seven church ages, you know, and to be in this last day, though, and to receive this word, this light. It's light in Goshen, as Jeremiah said Wednesday night. No, and I'm so glad to hear more about the token, too, and to know that I can apply it every day of my life, you know. It's what I've received for receiving this word, because I'm part of it. It's part of me. And I just thank God to have this word and this light in this end time. It gives us all we need.
God's good. I just waited for my opportunity. It looks like today.
Amen.
So I just want to give back a little bit of my talent.
Yeah.
And just bless the body.
Amen.
So we're going to get started.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
been a minute since I got up here. I just want to praise God this morning.
Amen.
For those of you who don't know, I had a game this Friday, and I wasn't there. I was at the fellowship. And, you know, I fought with myself all week wondering whether I should go to the game or the fellowship, you know, because it was, I was just like, I don't want it to interfere with fellowship, but, you know, I know it has to, it's going to happen either way, but I chose to go to the fellowship because I value this more than that.
Right.
Amen.
You know, they weren't lying when, you know, they say the things of this world will grow strangely dim.
Right.
I slowly am just losing my love for that, the things of this world, and I do value this word, this body, and I just wanted to say that. Praise God.
Bless your body. Strong testimony. You know, I was thinking that too. I also want to thank Brother John and Sister Dawn for letting us come to her house. I had a great time. You know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, that's not always easy to, you know, to invite everybody over there because, you know, that's a lot on them. And I don't want to take it for granted. I mean, you know, I love what Brother John, he is able to show me around his animals. And, you know, we're a different body. We're all unique. And I love that. He loves animals, just like my wife loves animals. You know, we're not going to all be the same. We're not cut from the same cloth in that sense. But the one thing we have in common, we love this word. And I love that because, you know, we'll look at each other and we'll pick each other apart because this person looked like this person. So what? And I mean, like, we love God. So this, you're looking at, look at the right things. I mean, you know, and I don't want to be like that. I mean, you might not like the cars I like. You might not like my hairstyle. I don't care. I love God. I mean, I love God. So you ain't gonna do nothing with me. I'm here to ride this thing out because I've came too far. This word is too good to me. This word is true. It's too true. I mean, it's like, you know, this word will get you through anything if you just yield to it. You know, I would say before, you know, when you have your mind made up and God can't help you, you're not gonna get nowhere. You're not.
Right.
Just let it go. You're not gonna figure this world out. You're not gonna worry about the politics, Trump, Kamala, whoever. It doesn't matter. It does not matter who's in there. It could be a green person. It could be a yellow person. It doesn't matter. This word, this God already seen what's gonna happen.
Amen.
So to get bent out of shape about what's gonna happen to the animals and this person, that person, you know what? God already seen what's gonna. God's got it. He's got it figured out. So I don't worry about that. I really don't. I go through it. And I honestly, it gives me thrill because I see people all the time. They love this person, love that person. I'm like, look, you realize it doesn't matter who you put in the office. It don't matter. You ain't going to change nothing. You get so bent out of shape about this person getting yourself worked up for nothing. For nothing. I'm going through this life and just coasting. I am. Because when I say coasting, I'm coasting because I know I have a promise. I'm looking for that marriage supper.
Amen.
I thank God for that because, you know, we only on this face of the earth that knows what this word is. We don't have to figure out. We know what it is. We do. And each and every time we come in here, we expect the truth. Every single time. And I know when Jay gets up, I'm going to say amen already because I know he's going to preach it.
Yeah.
He could be up for 15 minutes. That 15 minutes is going to help me get through this life. So
amen.
I thank God for that. So amen.
You know, you said search the scriptures. In them, you think you have the words of eternal life. But see, they that testify of my coming here. If you see yourself in the book, if you see your name in every scripture, it's only because every scripture points to you. It points to an hour, just like it pointed to Jesus, just like it pointed to Isaiah, just like it pointed to every man that God had ever used. It pointed to them, and when they recognized their day in the hour that they were living in, that's when they were set free. That's when they had a real new birth. God could move in to that house. And I just love that. It's so clear cut, just like that. When you said that, I was like, oh, Brother Mike, you're right on point today. And you know what? I believe that that's the thought for the day. You know, because we just know how God operates. He moves and has his way in this whole body. And it's just so good that way. And I love it because we don't come in here with some form and fashion. We don't come in here and somebody's handing out pamphlets to tell you how God's going to be boxed in today. No, no, no. God can have his way. It's like Burger King. You can have it your way. You can have as much God as you want. God bless you. Go ahead, Brother John. You'll be the last one.
Amen. Thank God I got in on a Sunday. Amen. I do thank God. You know, Micah, you're right.
Right.
It is one decision at a time.
Right.
You know, some decisions, some choices, you know, are big ones and some are little, but that's how it works. You choose God, you know, every time. Yeah. Because, you know, you can choose something else. And, you know, you can pay a price for it, or you don't even know you pay a price for it.
Right.
But, you know, I praise God. You know, Wednesday was really, really helpful to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I was looking at that, and I was saying, you know, I know that Brother Branham said that the token for this day was different than any other day.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that. And I knew that Brother Moore had said that every age had the Holy Ghost, so they had a birth, you know. And I also knew that Brother Childers said it was just potential.
Yeah.
You know, so all those things are going through my mind Wednesday during the day. I'm out thinking, just thinking, you know, Lord, you know, I think we're just going to have to ask Pastor how that all comes together. Right. So then what does God do? God gets up on Wednesday and just answers it all. You know, he's always done that. You know, in the beginning, he did it more. You know, when I first started coming, because I had more questions.
Yeah.
You know, but he is something else. You know, and God's funny, too, because, you know, that guy that came and did those reptiles, he's been calling me and asking me to help him. And I have to tell you that it's wearing me out. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, yesterday he wanted me to help him, and it's a two-hour drive one way and a two-hour drive back. And then November, I'm helping him, and it's a three-and-a-half-hour drive.
Oh.
I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? But, you know, I got to say that when I go help him, you know, I don't know about him, but I meet a lot of people. And I met this family yesterday. We had to get some special food for one of Elisa's snakes. And we had already driven all that distance. And then we had to drive another 30, 40 minutes out into God's country. I'm talking God's country, you know, gravel roads, one lane. Deer in the road and all this. And then we came to their house, and there was all these people, and it was kind of like, what have we gotten ourselves into? And let me tell you, that man was the nicest man to me. He gave us the food. He didn't charge me.
Oh,
he was something else. Then he gave me a pint of his honey that he made, and it was just, he got eternal life. So I had to drive all that distance to give one man eternal life and his daughter, who invited me over. But I just looked at his family, and I said, God bless that whole family.
Yes.
Because they're four-wheeling, and they're running all over and all that. And I said, that's family. That's what's important.
Yeah.
You know, we get wrapped up in things. And, you know, I've always said, you know, you run into a rich man, he won't give you a penny. You run into a poor man, he'll give you the shirt off his back. You know, that says a lot. That says a lot. And I says, Lord, help us not to get so high and lifted up, so judgmental, and so, you know, because God is in all these little things. And sometimes in the most humble, in the most lowly, you know, and you see something like that, and you say, there's God. And you see all this stained glass windows and pomp and circumstance, and you say, that's such man.
All is well. All is well.
Amen.
We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well.
Amen.
Place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little righteous rest, for all is well.
Sing that one more time.
Just behind the end.
Sing one more time.
One
just
more
worship.
Time. Yes.
Look what he's given us.
All is well. Yes. All is well. For we have heard the message. Shalom, and all is well. For there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So
perfect, perfect rest. You cut out all the glitz, all the glamour, all the good days, bad days, or good days and not so good days and better days. Don't have bad days, but just look at what he has done.
Amen.
You know, this didn't start with me. I'm coming on the very, very tail end of it. It's already done. It's a finished work. And he's blessed me to see what he has done.
Amen.
It couldn't be any more well.
Oh my.
Couldn't be any more perfect. I couldn't have a greater rest than what I have right now.
Oh my.
I look at little things in my life, and you know, like they're saying, you know, the things of life just grow strangely dim. The more you understand this, the more you say, that's okay. I've got that.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have it. I have it.
Yes.
This is the bride coming of Christ.
Yes.
This is in my hands. You know, you say, well, it's mighty bold. It's a bold message. It's a bold hour. It's such a humble hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because we see that what he has done.
Oh, my.
But yet now he's laid in our hands.
Yes.
The Spirit of the bride said,
come. Yes.
Yeah, I'll take that one. I'll take that
one.
I'll take all that.
Yeah.
I saw Brother Moore. He was at a graduation, some big college or something. So I'm taking everybody.
Everyone.
7,000 people.
Oh, my.
He took them all.
Yeah.
Now, I think you take away all the 3/4 water on that side.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of room.
Oh,
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let your love project. Amen.
Oh, my. God bless you, Brother Deskin. By way of announcement, we just want to thank everybody for showing up to the bonfire, and want to thank the Brinkmans for opening up their home and just, you know, allowing us to fellowship. And we love you guys so much, and thank you for that. And then we got the... We got the South Carolina trip. Now, there's two different days. We got Thursday and Friday. So whichever day that you're on, whichever day you signed up for, we're leaving at 5 a.m. in the morning, both days. So show up here 4:30 in the morning. It's the only way to be safe. And I try to, you know, tell you to be here, you know, at least a half an hour early, because you just never know what God's going to do, you know. So just make yourself available and be prepared. And then also bring money for food. There'll be no evening service tonight. And God bless the announcements. Let's sing A Sanctuary, key of G, and then we'll get the preacher up. God bless you all. And we'll start with the chorus.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
It is you.
It is you. My weakness. weakness, who gives me strength with thine own hand. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and
lead me on.
Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit and take my sin.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. I want to sing one more song. I want to sing "It Is Well With My Soul." I think that's the key of C. We'll sing that. We'll sing that. Have I had to help me sing it? We can do this one. When peace like a river.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Like sea, it don't even matter, whatever.
Thou hast taught.
It is well.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
It is well. Hallelujah.
Yes, it is. dwell with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Help me to sing a hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
One more time, hallelujah.
Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together one more time this morning. Lord, as a congregation, we come awaiting to hear a word from you. Lord, you've never failed us one time to meet every need. Lord, move the hearing and speaker out of the way. Lord, we know the body's got a lot of moving parts. This morning, the body's on the move, Lord. From the Philippines to Africa to New Zealand to Indiana, to San Diego, to even here in Fairborn, Lord. Lord, continue to touch. Lord, move. Just have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here this morning. We say that, and it's so true. It's always true. And kind of like how Brother Micah said, I wouldn't want to be in any other place. And it's proven by the fact that I'm here. That's the proof that I don't want to be anywhere else. You know, you can say a lot of words, but now I know. Yeah. Oh, I wish I could have did it. Oh, I wish. I wish you could have too. But the proof is when you actually do it. You know. So I appreciate that. I appreciate a strong testimony. And Brother John, you said it right. Is those little decisions. That's you know, even in business, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know, how do you grow? You know, one step at a time. How do you increase your faith? One small decision that God gives you, you step out on it. You step out on it. So it's great to see a many-member body. Now, we've got a lot of moving parts, and that's very true, more evident today than it ever has been. We've got brothers going international, so pray for Brother Jeremiah. He's actually on a plane now, headed to Germany. So he's there. He's going to be going there, so he's got some things to do there. So God bless his trip. This morning around 7, Brother Doug and Pastor Moore and some other members from the church went to Indiana to be with the Longenberger family there. So that's going on there. And then we still got a job to do here. So, you know, we're here. And there, each place is dependent on us to do our job. You know, so, you know, we step up to it and do what we got to do. And I praise God for that. Now, real quick on the housekeeping front, we are now in a position where we can accept help in the sound room. So what we'll do, probably, Dwayne, if you don't mind, I'll have you put a sign up on Wednesday. Sign up, you know, to help. We'll teach you what you need to know. You obviously don't know how to do it now, so don't say, I don't know how to do sound room. Nobody does until you go back there. So don't let that be an excuse. But we do need help, because what we see is that we're going to run in that same rut that we were in before, that, you know, same people are doing it, and that's not what we want. That's not what Pastor wants. So we need some help. So get back there. We can train you and show you what we need to do as the church is moving and progressing to making that process more automated. But right now it needs to be manual. So we need some help. So when we put that sign up back there, we'll do that and we'll get that going. So that'll take care of that part. That gets that off my plate there. The other thing I wanted to do is give you guys a quick update. I had asked for prayer probably a week and a half ago, maybe. I asked for prayer for the body. I preached, and I at the end of it I said we need a prayer, and then we had a
big prayer, and it was awesome for all those that needed to pray for. I got a prayer cloth and those kind of things. So I had a hernia surgery, not to go too many details of it, but because of my other surgery that I had, I will inevitably be more susceptible to hernias. There's nothing comfortable about them. So if anybody's ever had one, you know what I'm saying. So I'm about a week and a half, a couple days post-op. So to even be here, standing up, moving around, that's a miracle. So I pushed, and I will continue to push, because if you pray, I want you to see that it worked.
Right?
I mean, that God is real. I mean, because when you go through something, you come back and give me a testimony, I expect that God moves. You know, if you say, hey, pray for me for this, and I want you to come back and tell me how it went, because
amen.
I'll lean on that. You know, when you're going through something, you want examples. It increases your faith. Even the Bible gives you opportunities to read examples of how to increase your faith. So if you're going through something, you're going through rehab, you're going through recovery, you can say, okay, I can push. You know, the next person pushed.
Amen.
And, you know, I say this humbly because I don't want anybody to think that things are easier. It's just you have help, right? Like, and I figure out a way to say this, but like, you know, a lot of times people see you recover and they go, it must have been easy. That's ridiculous. You're foolish to think that. That's not the case. You see me standing up, doesn't mean I'm not in pain. You see me moving, doesn't mean it's not uncomfortable. It means I pushed through, right? And so, and I get emotional a little bit about it because I know what it takes to do it. Right? Like, I know what it takes to push. And so if I see you not pushing, it frustrates me. Right? Like, if I see you not moving, it frustrates me. I'm like, you have everything in you to move. Right? Like, you think about when you're not able to talk. If you're not able to talk and you see somebody that can't talk and they don't. If you're not able to sing and you see somebody that can't sing and they don't. It'll frustrate you. You go, you're wasting.
Amen.
You're wasting what God has given you.
Right.
You see somebody not able to run, but you can run, and you don't, you go, you're wasting it.
Amen.
You tell me, oh, I'm the best landscape person it is, but you don't cut the grass at the church, you're wasting it.
Right.
You're just wasting it. You come here, and you know what happened? I'll get to my message here in a second, but I look at that, and I go, why are you wasting what God gives you?
Right.
You know, you talk about being unique. That means you have a gift.
Yeah.
That means God giving you something that He didn't have to give to anybody else.
Right.
It could be artistry. It could be music. It could be testifying. It could be how you speak. It's just a gift.
Amen.
That God gave you. And if you don't use it, you're wasting it. And
yeah.
if you come to me, somebody that's been pushing, and you go, well, that's just not my makeup.
Right.
Well, it ain't nobody's makeup.
Right.
Nobody. I didn't sign up for this.
Right.
You don't go to school to get to this.
Right.
You don't go to... nobody's applying for this.
Right.
But it's needed. When I say that there's people around the world that need what we have here,
yeah.
It's important.
Amen.
It's
yeah.
important that this goes through. And you know what? And I'm going to share something with y'all. This is why I got so emotional. We have our brother. My brother Praveen. I know he's listening. I don't know what the time table is for him there, but Praveen so depends on the services.
Right.
So depends. See, this is what I'm talking about, wasting. You almost get me upset if you start wasting. Start wasting what you get in here. Oh, I'll get here when I can. I'll come in and I'll help out. I may play the drums. You're wasting. You're going to get me upset.
Right.
But I'm not even here for that. But Brother Praveen so needs the service because he has to preach to his family. There's not a church by his house. He went from being the quietest person here that he's got to take these messages, the little food that he gets, and preach it to his family. And you don't want to help out? Make sure the message gets out. You don't want to make sure that you're talking into the mic so we can hear you? You don't want to take this seriously in the front part of service when there's people around the world? Praveen's just an example of one. But there's thousands of people
Amen.
Around the world that
yeah.
depend
yeah.
on you to do your job.
Yeah.
To do your job. And to get in here and act like you could just do it half-heartedly, sometimes, late, maybe. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
That's ridiculous. To get that lazy and complacent
right.
that you start wasting what God has given you.
Right.
We talk about all the time Come that on. This is the best place. Well, act like it's the best place.
Amen.
Look like it's the best place. Treat it like it's the best place. It's like telling me you got the best wife and you abuse her.
Come on.
That means you're the idiot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I still believe she might be the best wife, but you don't recognize it.
Amen.
You tell me this is the best church, but you don't never want to get here.
Hello.
Fellowships don't mean that much to you. Getting around the body. I don't care if you can get there for 10 minutes. Don't waste it. Amen. Get there. Get there and be a part of this thing.
Amen.
So anyway, that's my little PSA.
Amen.
So I'm sure we'll have some help. I'm sure we'll keep pushing. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, too often, you know, and it's been more evident now with some of the older people that have been here and seen it along the way. So too often, I was just reminded that people have wasted what God has given them, the opportunities. You know, just wasted. You know, you think about the church splits and the disagreements for nothing. You couldn't even remember why you were arguing 20 years ago. You couldn't even remember what upset you that much. But you've tore apart families. You've walked away from God. You've wasted. You squandered the opportunities. And I don't want to waste an opportunity. I don't want to waste a service. I don't want to waste a moment. If I'm around brothers and sisters in Christ that believe this thing, I want to take it seriously. So that's my little bit there. So now we can get started. I got that off my chest. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everything. And it's no bit to be a rebuke. It's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. Yeah, it's just a reminder. Like, take this place seriously. Like, that you're not the, you know, sometimes people get up caught up in themselves and go, well, I'm the only one working. Well, be the only one working then. Don't even let Satan get in on that. Because if you start thinking, oh, well, everybody's dependent on me. Yes, we are. Well, step up then. Push even harder. You know, if you're a dad, you can't complain that the kids are dependent on you for food. Well, I'm the only one feeding them. Yeah, you are. They're your kids. This is your house. It's your responsibility. You get to a body of men. This is the peak at the top of the pyramid. It's smaller. Well, it's not that many people. You're right. I need you to do your job 100%. You can't be late. This is like working in a hospital. In a hospital, they don't have it. The attendance policy in a hospital is a little different than at a warehouse. At a warehouse, oh, you mess up, you know, the widget goes down the line, somebody else figures it out. Hospital, that nurse don't show up, that's problems, right? If people die, I need you to show up and do your job. So same thing here. It's perfect attendance in here.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't get no days off. So I just have that as an expectation. If you get one, praise God. How about that? That's how you got to look at it. So, and then you go, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting? Do you think the song leader gets a day off?
No.
Does the pastor get a day off? Sister Don get a day off. Sister Ramona and Pastor Moore ain't here. And she, oh, well, I guess I won't play the piano either. Come on. Come on. Nobody else gets a day off. Why do you think you get a day off? Oh, I won't testify. It looks like the big line. Get up there and make them nervous. Get in line and tell them to sit you down. That's what I'm saying. Like, just keep pushing. Keep pushing. But anyway, I'll get started here. So I was looking at this and, you know, Brother Jeremiah said a point there. And because I kept thinking about the token as well. And I'm like, well, I want to talk about the token too. And he said a point there, and he said it's like, you know, some more water. And it made me think about like sod. You know, if you guys don't know what that is, but sod is if you have a lawn and you're going to put grass there, you can take plots of grass and put it on the dirt, and as long as you water it, it will migrate with the rest of the grass, and it'll cover that spot. It'll be perfect. You know, some of the best lawns are from sod. You know, so but sod, one of the requirements is that you got to water it and water it. And water. Well, sod requires more water than regular. And in this situation, when I thought about the token, I thought, the token is very important. That's not just something, a plot that I can set there. When you start talking about the token, you want to water that thing, and water that thing, and water that thing. Because the more you understand about the token, it ties all the other stuff together, and you can see that. So I wanted to take some time today, and I don't know how much time I'll take. I know Brother Kevin already said that I can preach for 15 minutes if I'm out. So I know I got that marker if I want to do that. But if it goes longer, it's all right. But I'm just going to take my time this morning and kind of go, not necessarily to the depths of like a Sunday school, but I do want to take my time and go over some of these terms because we do have newer people. And some of the things we know, I mean, think about our years of experience. We were sitting there at the church fellowship, and we were celebrating Brother Jeremiah 25 years. Today. Today is his 25-year anniversary. And so that's Brother Jeremiah at 25. Now, he's considered a young pup. He's 25 years of experience. Pastor Moore's 44 years of experience. Brother Childers was 40-plus years of experience. Right? So you're talking 100-plus years of experience.
Amen.
And so every now and again, we're speaking from 100-plus years of experience, and the terms we use and the way we can go about this thing, we can go really fast if we need to. But every now and again, we just want to take a second and just slow it down and just make sure you're getting it, because when you do understand the terms, it does make this thing so much sweeter. So if you don't mind, I'm going to just stay with some of this here and go in those things. So I want to talk about some of these terms here because, you know, I thought, you know, even like why we do certain things, you know, so I don't know if you guys know this story of the ham. You know, so this is just a side note here, but this guy was cooking ham for Thanksgiving, and he cut the ends and put it in the pan, put it in the oven and cooked it. And his wife was like, why'd you cut the ends? He was like, oh, my mom cut the ends. He's like, oh, okay. So at Thanksgiving, she asked the mother, like, hey, why do you guys cut the ends of the ham before you bake it? And she was like, well, my mom always cut the ends before she baked it. So then grandma shows up, and they're like, grandma, why did you always cut the ends of the ham? She said, because my pan was too small. So I always cut the ends and put it in the pan, and that's how I cooked with it. And right, so like they just had a tradition of doing things because you didn't know. You didn't know why it was there. Now, they got older. He's got a bigger stove, bigger kitchen, bigger pan. He doesn't have to cut the ends. In this situation, we went fast a little bit, but we don't got to cut the ends today. We can take our time and talk about the whole ham. If I want to go in the book of Revelations, I can go in there. If I want to go in the book of Genesis, we got time to do that. We ain't waiting on nothing but the rapture. Right? Like, as they were putting these doctrines in place, it had to go in a certain time period. But we've stepped into eternity now, bub. I've got time to go forward, back. I can go anywhere I want on this thing. So I'm going to take my time with this and talk about this. So when we talk about why we needed the token, let's start at the beginning. Right? Like, why do we keep saying we need a token? And it goes back to the beginning. So if we can talk about the beginning, it goes back to Genesis. Right? So we get back to Genesis, and you know, there are going to be a couple parts where I feel like if somebody doesn't agree with us, that's going to be where they want to get off the boat. And going to Genesis, you might want to get off the boat right now, because in Genesis, when God created, it was a spoken word creation.
Amen.
God said, let there be. That he spoke it, that's spoken word creation. So these are key terms. I'm throwing them out there. And these highlight them. These are key terms. It was a spoken word creation.
Amen.
He said, let there be light. Then there was light. Yeah. Let there be the separation. Then there was. He said, let there be, and it was. That was the intended way that we were all supposed to come. Spoken word. We were supposed to be a spoken word body. Now, so you're with me. That's spoken word. So the spoken word of God creates. He's a creator, right? Not to oversimplify it, but that's what happened. So, but then there was a fall, right? So this might be where somebody's pulling the string to get off the boat, to get off the bus. There was a fall. That fall was a sex act in the garden. Satan introduced in that sex act, he introduced his bloodline, and that unbelieving spirit was introduced at that same time. Unbelief was introduced at that time. Unbelief of the spoken word of God and the bloodline of Satan was introduced. Because Satan was a beast, and that sex act created another bloodline. So now you have two bloodlines working. You have two spirits working in the framework of the church. Now, as that progresses, and I know I'm going kind of fast through it, but you're all right. Yeah, thank you, Brother Jim. You're all right. So as that's going through, and that's in the book of Genesis, that's a good to know how that starts off. You got to know that. Now, what message people thought, and I hope they don't think that anymore, is that when that bloodline was introduced, that was the creation of a black male and a white male. Message people. I'm just telling you. I'm walking you through it. That's how ignorant they were. Right? They just didn't know. They were unlearned. They thought that's how black people got here, is that bloodline, that's Satan's bloodline. But here's the thing. There's a stop point for Satan's bloodline. When the flood happened, that bloodline was killed off. Okay? That bloodline was killed off. But that spirit of unbelief came over on the ark. Okay? So that bloodline is gone now. Black people are still here. Right? So that wasn't it. right? But the reason why I make light of that is because there's so many errors like that in their theology that it's almost better to just wash them all. Like, don't keep any of your traditions because they're rooted in the wrong stuff. They come from an idea that was wrong. The start of it was wrong. If you thought it was an apple, you're wrong. You can't get the spirit and the bloodline from an apple, right? So as that goes along, so that happened. So you have those two framework in the church. You've got the spirit of error, is what they would call it. In the spirit of truth. And so you know what an error is, something wrong, and the spirit of truth is something right. See, these are terms that we'll say. We'll say that spirit of error, or the spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. It has no purpose to guide you in any error. It only rides in on the truth. That Holy Spirit only rides in on the truth. So as you're going through this thought process, you go, okay, so what happened all throughout the Bible? You would have the believers recognize that they needed a sacrifice. The unbelievers, let's drop them off at the flood, right? They just don't believe. But let's recognize what the believers are doing through these ages. Now, you say, Brother Jay, well, how do you know the difference? It's really easy to find the difference because an unbeliever throughout history persecutes the believers.
Right.
It's a strange thing. You go, why would they be so mean to the people that just want to believe God? I don't know. Ask Jesus. Yeah. He didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And they were persecuting him. Right. That was the best example of it. So as that happens, so you got the fall in the garden. You have that. The natural bloodline goes away with Noah. And then you keep going. And so as that goes along, you've got those two spirits working in the framework of the church. But those two spirits, and you say, okay, so let's make sure we add some biblical references in here. There, at some point, they get so close that it could deceive the elect. But it's not possible. That's what the Bible says. Is that spirit of error could get so close. And the Bible would prophesy saying, hey, as we get closer to what? The end. That spirit is going to raise up other prophets. It's going to raise up other things. And the Bible is basically walking you towards the end of the story. It's saying, hey, as we get closer to the end, these things are going to start to show up.
Yep.
Now, so we're going to go back here. So that's going on. So as that's happening, you've got the believers that are recognizing that they need a sacrifice.
Right.
You got the unbelievers who don't. And you say, okay, well, where's the first example? Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel is the first example of a believer, Abel, recognizing that he needed a blood sacrifice to pay for the sins. And you say, the sins? Yes. At the fall, we all came in sin. You were born of a woman and speaking of lies from your birth. You all were in sin. So you say, well, the believers were in sin? Yes. The believers were in sin. Jesus had that you came the wrong way. What way were you supposed to come? The spoken word. You were supposed to be spoken. You didn't come spoken. It's the wrong way. That's why you must die and be born again. How are you born again? Off of the spoken word of God.
Amen.
See how these things come together? And when you understand the terms, you can make it. And it is simple, right? But we've had 100 years of simple, Brother Isaiah. I've had Brother Childers. I've had Brother Pastor Moore. I've had Brother Jeremiah. And now I'm preaching it to you. It's simple to us, but other people come in here and go, spoken word? So what were you talking about? How are you getting born again? Why do you need to be born again? Because you came the wrong way.
Right.
You came from a woman. You're supposed to come from the mouth of God.
That's right, man.
So you guys are still tracking with me, right? Okay. So like I said, I didn't want to go too fast or whatever, but so as that's happening, so this keeps unfolding. So the believers keep recognizing that they need, and I think the word is preparation. Thank you. That's the word. But that's what they need, some kind of way to pay for their sins. And the believers recognize that. So then they keep doing a sacrifice. And every time they do a sacrifice, they're just saying, hey, I know I sinned yesterday, and I'll probably sin today, and I'll probably sin tomorrow, but I just need to pay this for now until a bigger sacrifice comes that can pay this bill. Now, there needed to be something that would come and pay that bill. Now, all throughout the Bible, you see different references of who's going to show up to pay that bill. Right. And these are prophecies about Jesus. So they got different prophecies about how he's going to be born, where he's going to be born at, what time of the year he would be born, what he would come and do. And the church world took those prophecies, and they thought, oh, he's going to be the king of the Jews. He's going to show up with an army and take over. Because in their mind, they thought, king, you have an army, you're going to come and take over, and you're going to rule your people. They thought carnal, just like they thought about blacks and whites. They thought carnal. It was just, and that's just an example of how they weren't in tune with the Word of God. So they thought something, everybody knew somebody had to come, but they didn't recognize the prophecies. But the believers recognized and held on to the prophecies. So that happened all the way through. But that division just kept growing and growing and growing. And that price got more and more and more. Okay? So that price kept getting bigger and bigger. Now, see, like in this court of God's law, you're all guilty.
Right.
Now, in the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty. But in God's law, you're guilty until proven innocent. And then you say, well, where do you get that, Brother Jay? Well, when you get over there, he says... They said, well, when did we do this for you? When did we make ourselves innocent? When you did this unto the least of these. You were guilty until you did that. Right? You didn't have eternal life until you did that. You didn't you're gonna die in sin until that happened. So you were born guilty. And then you were made innocent. So that price had to be paid. So you guys are still following me there. So you see how we're going. I mean, and we're already in the book of Matthew right now. Just for context. Just for context, we went from Genesis all the way through. But when Jesus paid that price, so when Jesus paid that price, he paid for our past, present, and future sins. And you say, Brother Jay, why would he need to pay for future sins? Right? There had to be something to come for him to have to pay that. Otherwise, he would have just paid for the past. Otherwise, he would just pay for the present. Like, if you go out to eat, I just pay for your meal now. I don't say, leave my card on file. Whenever Chris shows up, just take care of him, right? But Jesus left his card on file. Jesus said, I know there's going to come a group. I know there's going to come a time that this payment's going to be necessary. So I'm going to leave this right here. Right? He paid for our past, present, and future. Amen. So that way, when it comes time for us to look around and say, where's the bill? It's already been paid. It's already been paid. So to say that Christ died on the cross, that's great. But he had to get up. That's what he had to do. And then what did he do when he got up? So like we're still tracking through this. When he got up, his first mission was to go get the old saints. He had to go get them. And it's just interesting to note that Jesus had to go back and get the body. He had to go back and get the body. What did we do when we woke up to who we were? We went back and got the body. We went back and got the body. Now I heard this morning when somebody said, hey, when I read that Bible, and if I don't see myself in every verse, I can go back and read it again. Now, this is just a reference for the children. Like, when you're a kid and somebody gives you your book of life about how you got here, there might be a story about grandma and grandpa in there, because that's how you got here. But the whole reason of the book is for you. It might be saying, hey, this is how you got your eyes from granddaddy. Hey, and this is how you got your attitude from grandma. Hey, this is how you got that fiery thing from your dad. Right? It's showing you your lineage. So when I go through the Bible, if I read a story of Moses, that's still about me. When I go through the Bible and I read about Isaiah, it's still about me. When I go in there and read about Jesus, it's still about me. Because the entire story from Genesis to the Revelation was God did not want to dwell alone. That is why he spoke the body in existence the first place, is that he didn't want to dwell alone. But when he spoke the body to begin with, it had free moral agency. It had options. It had the potential to fail. That first spoken word body that they formed had the potential to fail. The next group cannot fail. It can't fail. I can't be deceived. I there's nothing in me that can be deceived. I have nothing. I've not been plumbed at all to even have the opportunity to fail.
Amen.
You know, and there it says the first Eve, Brother Branham said the first Eve could and did fall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This Eve, I can't and won't fall.
Yeah.
I'm ordained to make it through.
Yeah.
I'm more than a conqueror,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So now you see how these terms come together, and it's saying, that's why that group is stronger than any other group. Because
right.
I was made that way.
Right.
Does that make me more boastful? Should I be? No, I'm just as humble as everybody else.
Right.
He paid the price.
Yeah.
He was the creator. He made me this way.
Amen.
He spoke me into existence. That's what my soul recognized, is it recognized the spoken word of God, and that caused that germ seed on the inside of me to start to grow.
Right.
So when we talk about why we focus so much on the token, is because when you can recognize that the price has been paid, it should free you from all condemnation and bondage, because there's nothing left to do.
Right.
Now, the church world has distorted that, and you know, I know I keep giving the church world a bad rap, but they deserve it. Right? Because... you know, we believe this. We believe that there's good people. Good people out there. And also know that there are people that are intentionally being deceptive. That are intentionally deceiving people. You can't tell me somebody on the TV telling poor people to send them $10,000 because God told them that's the best way to give them a blessing. You can't tell me that God said that. God don't need your money. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't even need money. Jesus himself had him go to a fish. He didn't go to his disciples and say, hey, it's time to get to work, guys. Peter, I'm going to need at least 10 from you. Matthew, good 20. Right? That's not what he did. And he could speak it into existence if he wanted to. Even Brother Branham. Come on, now let's just go through some of the examples of people that had, thus saith the Lord, that could speak things into existence. Did they focus on money? So, if somebody's focused on money, it throws me off real quickly. Like, I understand that you're temporal, right? Because we know that over in heaven, even the streets are going to be made of gold.
Right.
So, for you to put so much emphasis on what I consider dirt, you're off, right?
That's
just the nature of it, you know? So, I look at all these things, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going to get here, and I don't know when I'm going to get to a scripture, but I'm going to get to one soon. But as we're going through this, I hope you guys see that we basically went from Genesis to see that two framework of the church,
right,
to see that a sacrifice did need to be paid.
Yeah.
Jesus, but to pay that sacrifice, you needed a kinsman redeemer.
Right.
Okay? So when we say kinsman, that needed to be somebody that was just like you, your brother or sister. It needed to be your kin, right? Like next. That's kinsman redeemer. That's what we needed to pay the sins for us. You needed a perfect sacrifice. You needed somebody that came without sin. That came the right way. How could you come the right way and still be born of a woman? You had to be spoken word birth. That's why the prophecy that a virgin shall conceive meant so much. Is because that was the only way that you were going to have a perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
Is that body, because the egg and the sperm were not from Mary or Joseph.
Amen.
That body was a word-formed body.
Amen.
Mary just carried it. Now, the Catholic Church, I have you think Mary was just unchaste and as clean as the snow. Her language was perfect, blah, blah. No. Don't believe that at all.
Amen.
Because if Mary was so clean, why do they think she was sleeping with the soldiers?
Right.
They didn't think, oh, she's so pure, it had to be a virgin birth. No, they didn't believe it. They're like, I know Mary. I've known Mary from her youth. I've seen her hang around the soldiers. She must have been sleeping with one of them. Joseph, you know that ain't your baby.
Right.
So much so that God had to come and talk to Joseph.
Right. Yeah.
Mary's like, hey, I got a baby from the Lord. No, you didn't, Mary. Didn't believe her. I'm just telling you, because sometimes we over glorify these stories. Like, oh, no. It's just like you or me. Just like when Micah says, you know what? I felt the need to go to the fellowship. But don't got to make it like he was sitting in the room and a football came floating down and Jesus was like, are you picking me or are you picking the world? Which one are you going to do? No. Right? You over-glorify these things. It was just as simple as, hey, I'm making a decision. God came and spoke to Mary and said, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to put this in there. And that was it. Yeah. No need to over-glorify it, because what happens when you do that, I'm going to tell you what happens. See, now I've been a part of this thing for a long time. I've been in this message for a long time. It's death to somebody that gets over spiritual with me. Because I know how that road goes. It's a slippery slope. Because as soon as you get super spiritual, you know what? Then you're a little bit more spiritual than everybody else. Then God talks to you when nobody else is around. Then you can't be around a lot of people because God's got to talk to you. Then God tells you stuff that nobody else can verify. Then God tells you stuff that nobody else agrees with. Then God tells you to go off because nobody else can go where you go. That's what happens when you get spiritual. You become Enoch, and you think you're going to just walk yourself on out of here. That's exactly what you'll do, but it won't be like Enoch. You'll walk yourself out of here into poverty, into disillusion, into depression, into mental issues. That's what I see happens when I see over-spiritualization. And I've seen it 100% of the time. I haven't seen one case where somebody get that off of them. Unless you get humbled. That's why Brother Childers would be smacking us down. We were talking about how amazing his leadership was. Because he kept us humble. And he really did, and we appreciate it. He protected us. That was a haven of protection to make sure that didn't happen to us. You'd get up here, and we were telling the brothers on Friday night, we were like, you get up here and want to preach something, Brother Childers, to grab the mic, talk for 20, 30 minutes, and then say whatever you were about to say that it wasn't necessary. But you still had time in the service, so I don't know what you were going to do. You still had to preach, but whatever the notes you had, that was not what he wanted to hear. He said, oh, Brother Jay, he didn't do that. Yes, he did. You'd be up here. Brother was up here about to preach the three souls. Brother Childers was like, I done had it up to here with the three souls. Now, what do you do with your notes? What do? You've got the leader saying, I done had it up to here. Don't give me one more message about the three souls. Three rims. Thank you. Yeah, three rims. I'm so nervous about saying it. You see that? It stopped me. I was so scared. I was like, I ain't going to never preach on that. Right? But three rims, right? But that's what he said. He's like, I had it up here with the three rims. See, you guys remember. Right? It had an impact on all of us. We were like, okay. Yeah, but that leadership was necessary to protect us, because now you have to stand on your own and know what you're talking about. And we use the term back the mail from where you're at. When I come up here and I preach, I'm not worried whether you think I'm right or not. I know I'm right. I'm not even worried if I've got enough time to tie it together. If I got 15 minutes, I'm going to share with you my knowledge of the mystery for 15 minutes, and I'll let you go. God's the only revealer. He can take a five-minute message and preach to you for the rest of the week on that thing. He can just say a term out there, and you go, I never saw it like that before. And then you can just keep eating on that the whole week. That's how God does it. So to think you've got to overdo this and overdo that, that means you're taking it out of God's hands. Let him do it. Because sometimes, you know, and I've seen it, I've seen preachers think they've got to over-explain it so that way you can pick it up. I ain't got to do that either. It's not my job to reveal it. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth. It's the revealer of the word. I say it. It should identify with the word that's in me. Something inside of you should say, that ain't nothing but the truth. And then God can start to work on that. Let him work on that. Let him work on it. That takes it out of my hands and yours. So if something's not clicking just as fast as you think it should be, trust God. Trust God. That's how you got to do them on everything. Anyways, let's keep going down through here. So you have Jesus, who had to be a kinsman redeemer, a perfect sacrifice. And I think let me read over here just so I don't get into too much trouble with these scriptures. I haven't even read one. Let's go over to Psalms, Hebrews 10. That's one of the scriptures talking about Jesus being a perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 5 through 10, and for context, for anybody that's taking notes, I mentioned that there was a couple of prophecies about Jesus coming, and here's a couple of them. Acts 3:25, Romans 9:7, Genesis 28:14, and then it's Isaiah 7:14, Micah 5:12, Psalms 4:6. So we have scriptures up here, so don't think I ain't got no scriptures. I got scriptures now. I done did my homework now, but I just know I'm talking to believers. You're going to believe me because the Word says it. And you can go back and read it at your own leisure. Matter of fact, it's good to read. That's what it says. That's how you get closer to God. Read your Bible and pray. So I don't want to mess that up. But anyway, let's read over here in Hebrews 10. It says, so Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared him as a sacrifice. And burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Right.
Above, when he said, sacrifices and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come and do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second,
right,
by the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's nice. That's good reading right there. Jesus paid that price once and for all. We didn't need to go back and sacrifice something else over and over and over and over again. Jesus paid it all. But so when he paid it all, he paid for everything. He paid for Moses. He paid for Paul. He paid for Irenaeus. He paid for Martin. So to get that new body, now we're going to start to build that spoken word body. Okay. So we've had creation, the fall, have prophecies talking about there needs to come a sacrifice.
Right.
Jesus come and made that sacrifice. But now that the price has been paid, now God needs to build that body. There needs that next body needs to start coming into life.
Right.
That's what happens through the ages. It's the building of the new body. So you have so through the building of the body, you've got the messengers in each age. And it's a time period. Now we've used examples about growing a plant, growing corn, harvest time. You see those different examples through the body. I mean, through the Bible, it talks about a seed must go into the ground, to be able to bring back the fruit that it was. That seed that Jesus was carrying had to go in to be able to come out to bring forth a many membered body. Because
right.
It says, and the Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone.
Right.
Right? In the creation, in the beginning, God didn't want to be alone. And a lot of times we get caught up as humans on the time it takes for things to happen. Oh, 4 years, 40 years, 5 years, 10 years. A day to God is 1,000 years.
Right.
So in our heads, this plan is taking a long time. This is 4 or 5 days. Right? Like this is not some awesome amount of time, right? We as carnal humans think like that. Like, oh, it's been 1,000 years. That's one day. If I told you I could build a house tomorrow, you'd be like, wow, that's fast.
Yeah.
Just one day.
Yeah.
Right? This body was built over the course of that time period. So the body, so that seed had to go into the ground to bring forth the life that Jesus had.
Yeah.
That life had to go into the ground, so to speak. It had to go in to the church. It had to go in to be able to come back out. And when it comes back out, it's a many-membered body. So you plant one piece of corn, you get a bunch more. But they all are the same way. They all have the same life-producing power in all of the ears of the corn. That's what happens now. So when we say quotes like, we're little Messiahs or we're little Jesus, yes, we are. We're the life that came out. When you go through the ages, that's the time period that seed is going in, but there's a time that it's got to come out. The Bible even talks about progression. We talk about progression. There's got to come a time period where there's somebody to fulfill the latter part of the Scriptures. Now, Pastor Moore on Sunday, he was at Brother Peterson's church, and he was reading, and Paul's right there. Thank you, everybody, that sent me different things on that. I wasn't able to make it, and I got notes from this person, recording from that person, little eagles feeding me. Yeah, I was recovering, and they was like, let me drop a little meat here, drop a little meat here. And I needed it, and I appreciate that. That, you know, that's a good testimony for both of us.
Yeah.
One, that you were paying attention enough to know that I wasn't there and that I needed to eat.
Right.
And me, that I've shown myself somebody willing and anxious to hear it.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of people I wouldn't send a message to.
Right.
A lot of, I get a text message to the service, I don't forward it to everybody.
Right?
Right? So that's a blessing on both sides.
Yeah.
Right? I saw that and I was encouraged, and I'm sure you were too by making it. I'm sure, like, as you were recording, you're thinking, whoa. Now, I will tell you this now. Now, this is a dig to Brother Jim, because he's the one that sent some of the recordings to me. I don't know if you guys, Brother Tony was here, and when Brother Tony comes to town, he likes to eat at this African restaurant. And when they eat at this African restaurant, it's like a plate of food, and they have maize, which looks like mashed potatoes, okay? You got that, then you got like beef stew and all this kind of stuff.
Well, they take the mashed potatoes and they smush it in their hand. There's no forks or spoons or knives. They're smushing it in their hand, and then they take it and then they scoop up the stew and then they eat it. So if somebody was going to share some food with you, their hands are all in it, right? Kind of not the most appealing thing, right? Like if I was like, oh, you want a bite? And I just put it in your mouth. You'd be like, oh, I did want a bite, but I would prefer that I take it off your plate and put it on mine and then eat it with my own fork. That's how I felt when I was listening to the service and Brother Jim, because he's like, hey, man, there it is. Ah! And I'm like, okay, brother, I know you're eating too, but you're recording this for me. But yeah, it was like his hands was all in it, but that's all right. He was just sticking his hands all in it. He's like, hey, man, that's nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Hey, man, woo. And I'm like, what did he say? I couldn't even hear it. What are you hooping and hollering about? Because I could hear Brother Jim really loud. But then Pastor Roy's in the background. Anyway, I love Brother Jim. He knows it. But I appreciate that. But I was still eating. I was hungry. So I was eating. I appreciate it. But so as we're going through that and looking through this, Jesus paid that price. I'm going to catch up here. But as we see what he did, we are now able to be those little messiahs now. We're able to do what Jesus did, and now we're doing those greater works. Brother Branham even said, you know, greater, and even Jesus said, greater works will you do. That's a Bible scripture there as well. Greater works are we doing. We're doing greater works now. But this thing has progressed all the way through to the point where there has to come a time where we fulfill those latter scriptures. And Pastor Moore said at Brother Peterson's church, he said, Jesus read over in Isaiah, he said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he read a part of the scripture, but he stopped. Why would Jesus stop? Why wouldn't he do the whole job? Why wouldn't he just keep going? But because there was a time period where there'd be vengeance and judgment, that wasn't his job. There was going to come a group of people that were going to have a righteous judgment to be able to present. There was going to be a come a time where there was going to be a group of people that could fulfill the rest of the scripture. Amen. There was going to come a time where you could wrap this thing up. Right. See, what the problem with the church world is that they never want to end. They never want it to be over. Right. It goes on. It's like the song that never ends. That you always come to church and you always give your heart to God. In every service, you got to give it to Him. In every service. And it never ends. It's like, will I ever be good enough to go? Will this ever be finished? But not to the church world. Because why? They got to keep you on that hamster wheel. And you go, well, Brother Jay, why do they want? Because it's for money. Don't act like it's for anything else. I got to get you to think that you're not good enough so you can keep paying, so you can keep coming back. Then I'll make you not feel good enough so you can keep paying. So you can come back. It's a business. That's how you keep your clients. That's like a personal trainer that's your chef, but he keeps giving you food that makes fat. That's what they're doing. Because they keep moving the needle. They move the needle. The first preacher gets up, and he's got an issue with Democrats. So if you're a Democrat, you got to come and give your heart to God. The next preacher gets up, he has a problem with Republicans. So if you're a Republican, you got to come and give. The next person gets up, he's got a problem with homosexuality. You see how I'm just building on it? It don't matter what you put in there. They just have their own isms and schisms. Then they got a problem with blacks and whites. Then they got a problem with this. But whatever it is, they just keep moving the needle. It's never, you're never going to be good enough. Right. And we know from preaching of the three realms that you will never be good enough. Right. There's never going to come a point in time where my flesh is good enough. There's never going to be a point in time where my spirit realm is good enough. My soul was the only thing that was annihilated and wiped out of here. And that new soul on the inside of there, that spoken word birth, is the only thing that's going. That's the only thing God cares about. Is that thing that's part of Him, that's eternal, that came the right way. My flesh came the wrong way. My spirit realm came the wrong way. The only thing they'll get rid of that is to kill it off. The replacement for it is my glorified body and my theophany. Those are the replacements for the things that I have here that are not right. And you say, well, Brother Jay, what's the whole goal? The whole goal is that we will be all God all in all. That's what's going to happen when we get over there. When we get out of here in rapture, we'll be God all in all. But it starts with that soul first. That's the first thing that's got to change. But as we talk about the token and why it was so important, is because it's an identifying factor to let you know that you're now at the end. That the price has fully been paid. And I love the example Brother Jeremiah used. I love the example Pastor Moore used. And I think I used the example about a bus as well. But all those examples just show you that once the price has been paid, it changes everything. Amen.
There's no more work needed. And there's, you know, when there are scriptures that talk about the end of servile work, that your 11th hour worker, there's no, all the work has been done. Yes, all the work to build the body has been done. The body is fully built. It's she is now standing on her feet. See how these terms come together and everything runs? Because if she's standing on her feet now, that means everything is fully formed for her to stand on her own and do her job. But you recognize that when you get to the token time. You know, we can say it's evening time. It's token time. We've stepped into eternity. All these things go together because, in a sense, they're synonymous. Now, Brother Branham got to the point with his church, he had to say to them, and I'm saying this message in such a way that even if you don't listen to Brother Branham, he got to a point to his church that he said, Branham Tabernacle, we've come as far as we can in the written word. We've got to go somewhere else. There's got to be something else to this. Because everybody has the Bible. Everybody thinks they know what it is. Through the Pentecostal age, they thought they had a religious experience. And they thought that was enough to get it. No! Paul had a religious experience, but that wasn't enough. Irenaeus had a religious experience, but that wasn't enough. You had to continue on in the furtherance of the gospel to get to the token. The token then takes care of Moses. The token then takes care of Paul. The token then takes care of Irenaeus. As you get to the end, then the price is fully paid. The body is standing on her feet. It's no longer potential. See, when we say it's potential, see, a lot of times we use the word potential and people look at it as a negative and go, well, that means it wasn't going to happen. No, that's not how we're saying it. You're misusing the word potential. Potential means it just hasn't happened yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's potentially going to happen. But that same amount of potential that it could happen, the inverse is true, is that it couldn't. You could plant a seed and the potential is that it would grow, but it could also not grow. Right? Matter of fact, we've used that reference of Abraham when God said, now I know. Yeah. Right? It was potential that he believed until he saw it. Yeah. The body was potential. That doesn't mean God didn't think it was going to happen, but in reality, it was potential. Matter of fact, even Brother Childers would say that you are a potential son until you're manifested. Yeah, until you have that new birth, it's just potential. Until we see signs of life, then it's real. But all up until then, it's potential. You're hearing the word. You're in the right environment. The sun is on you. You've got the heat. You've got the watering of the word. All those things are there. You are in the right environment to grow. But until I see a stalk come up from the ground, it's potential. That's the same thing that happened through the ages. As the word was going in, it was potentially forming a bride body. But the second, that wave sheath, and we talk about a wave sheath, and they use this term in the Bible a lot, where they talk about grabbing some of the first fruits. So if you plant a garden or plant something, and you go and grab just that first fruit, that's proof that it worked. It's proof that all the gardening and all the weeding and all the everything that happened, that it worked. We are the first fruits that this worked. Yeah. Right? We're the proof. Amen. That all that they were doing is in existence. Right. We're the first fruits, not the only fruits. Right. We're the first fruits. We're the first sheep that's just waving our hands and saying, it's the truth. Right. We're the first ones saying it. And then now all these other ones that had the same food, that had the rest will come. They have to. They got the same water that I got. They got the same food that I got. They were in the same environment that I got. The Holy Spirit moved on them just like it moved on me. We're the first fruits that's saying that. But all that is summed up when you say the word, I've got the token. Because that's proof that you know that you're now at the end. And if it's proof that you're at the end, that means you know it was a process. That means you knew things had to get paid for. And when you say, I've got the token, that means you're saying, I've got my fare paid, and I'm ready for what? The journey. Yeah. Woo! I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. We can wrap this thing up. Yeah. That's why we even say the quote, we say, we're going to come to a point where we realize that we don't. Come on now. Amen. See, I'm talking to believers now. Yeah. When you realize that you don't have to be here, but that can only come
after the token. That's when you can realize that you don't have to be here. Oh, that's when it's the end. That's why, and that's why we can even quote in the scriptures where it says, will I find favor? Yes, you will. I'm the favor that you're going to find. We're the group of people that you've been prophesying about. Oh, they prophesied of us just like they prophesied of Jesus. They said there's going to come a group. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, you're going to long for one of the days. Woo! One of these days. You will long for one of the days where there's a group that knows what it is, that sees it all from the back to the forward, that can go from Genesis to Revelations, that knows this thing is over. Amen. That's what he said would happen. And we're the proof of that. Yes. And I can say that's all summed up with the token. Now you know the terms. Now you can see how these things come together. Now we can see all. Now we should be able to fellowship in harmony. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Right? You're saying the same thing I'm saying. Because there was too often, there was times where people, you know what happens sometimes? People, they don't know that they don't know. So they don't ask a question. Right? I do something, and I'm going to put this on me. Sometimes I do something wrong, and my wife will be like, oh, if you didn't know how to do it, you should have just asked me. I thought I was doing it right. That's why I didn't ask you. Right? I didn't know I was doing it wrong. No, I didn't know I was doing it wrong. I thought I did it right till you said it was wrong. Right? And that's how it is sometimes with these Christians. They don't know that they're doing it wrong until we show them that it's done right.
Amen.
Right? We're showing them how to love right. We show them how to respect right. We show them how to live right. We should be able to show that.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get so high and mighty that we don't even think we got to show nothing.
Come on.
Oh, I don't have to live good. If they got it, they'll get it. No. Somebody lived good for you.
Right.
Somebody pushed for you. Somebody overcame for you. Somebody made a way for you. Let's open the door and make a way for somebody else. If it means putting down your steak when the meat offends your brother, put it down. If it means wearing something that's going to make it a little bit more modest to help them out, just do it. Why are you acting like it's so hard? What's so hard about serving God?
Amen.
See, some of these Christians act like serving God is too hard. He's been too good to me. He's been too good to me. I can never outgive God. I can never outgive God. You know, sometimes people walk away from this thing because they think it's too hard. You know what? Whenever I need God, I don't care what time of day it is. If I'm struggling, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't get up and I'm in pain. Lord, I need you now.
Amen.
Lord, I need you now. I don't care if it's Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and things are stirring around. Lord, I need you now. I don't wait for him to be free. I don't wait for him to have some availability. I don't look at his calendar and see when I can see him next. Lord, I need you now. That's what I expect from God. What more should he be able to expect from me? Jay, I need you now. I need you to move now. I need you to be ready to preach, pray, or die now. Oh, I'm going to tell you guys something, and this should encourage you. Oh, so when I found out about the service for this today, I wasn't feeling good. Oh, let me tell you. See, this is what happened to me. I wasn't feeling good. And I just knew, like, I thought, you know what I'm going to hold on to? I ain't got to preach that long. If I get up there and have to sit down in a wheelchair, they'll push me out. If I just have to read it and don't even have to yell out, they'll take care of it. What I started doing is started leaning on what God already said. I didn't start making it up. I didn't start making up what my testimony could be. I said, you know, God said I could do this. God said he'd be with me. Even in me. He said, I got help. He said, if you only talk for a couple minutes, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
So I just leaned on that. Pastor Moore was talking about the different things, and I said, you know what? I'm available. Now, was I feeling amazing? No. Mm-mm. Not at all. I just told you guys what I had to go through. At that time, I was, just to give you for context, when you get out of a surgery like that, you're not supposed to move. Period. You're supposed to lay still. They put something on you, and you're supposed to sit still, all that kind of stuff. Now, I listened for the most part, but that's what you're supposed to do, right? So that means you need to. I don't know if you ever tried to sit up without your stomach. It don't happen, right? So anyway, but that's what was going on. But when God said that, I said, you know, I trust you, God. I just trust you. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't. I'm not even going to make it up to you and say, oh, I knew I was going to do this. I knew I was going to do this. I didn't know. But all I did was just trust that the God that had been with me all the other times, the God that had delivered me all the other times, would be the same God that would take care of me now.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, you said that you would take care of this. Lord, you said that when I got out of surgery that you would give me a preaching liver. Lord, it's up to you to do it, not me. I'm going to hold you to what you said. If you give me 5 minutes, I'll take my 5 minutes. If you give me an hour, I'll take my hour. If I just get up there and say, he's been so good, you brothers take it, that's what I would do.
Amen.
So I said, Lord, I'm available.
Amen.
Just open my hand like Sister Kara. And you know, the next morning, see, now the people that know what I was going through, they know I'm telling you the truth. Everybody else can think I'm over-glorifying it. The next morning, I was able to sit up in bed. I thought, that's strange. I wasn't able to sit up before. I had to sleep in a chair the first day, not even at my own house. Then I had to sleep in my daughter's bed the next day. And on that day, I was able to sit up in bed. So I sat up and I said, well, looky here. If I'm able to sit up now, who knows what I'll be able to do by Sunday? So then things started to change. Then I started scotching my tires. Oh, I sat up. I ain't going to lay back down now. You already set me up. You better hold me up here. And then I started moving. I thought, oh, I can speak out a little louder than I could before. Well, I'm going to keep speaking out louder. You better hold me up here. Don't let me fall, Lord.
Amen.
You got me. Don't let me fall.
Amen.
So much so, I'll tell you guys what I did. And I like sharing this with y'all so you can see what really happens. Because I don't want to wait 4 years and be like, yeah, Lord delivered me. No, no, no. I want you to know right now.
Right now.
What happened today? I serve a present tense God.
Yes.
So I'm in my feelings still thinking, I still need to save my voice though. Because Sunday's coming. But they had musicians practice. And I'm like, I'm going to stay home, take my medicine, and I'm going to save my voice. And I just got to itching. I was like, save it, though. You don't think he could give it back to you by Sunday? This is internal conversations.
Yeah.
Wasn't no big halo coming down. I was just kind of like Micah, like, you know, save it. He could give it back to me by Sunday.
Right.
And they might not be singing a lot of songs anyway. I come here, and I'm like, well, I'm going to just see, because I want to see my brothers and sisters anyway. So I come in, and they're singing away. Beautiful song, by the way. And I go over, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to get up where they're at. I'm going to go by Pastor Moore and just, he knows what I'm going through, so if I lean on him, he won't say nothing. He knows that I'm not really supposed to be doing anything, so he won't be pulling on me too much. And they start singing, and I start singing a little bit, and I'm like, I can sing. I can sing louder. I can sing louder. And I was rejoicing to myself. They were doing their thing. The musicians doing their thing. They don't even know I'm over there saying, hold my mule. They don't even know. Sunday's about to be lit. We're going to have ourselves a service. I'm excited because God was moving. And he can move like that on all of us, and he does. The fact that you're here means God was moving on you. You go, oh, he didn't move on me in song service. Guess what? You made it to service today. That means God had to move on you this morning to push through the sleepy, to push through the this, to push through the pain, to get here today. You had to go through your family and this and that and plans to get here today. God's been moving. That same God, the same creator from Genesis, has spoke a word on the inside of me that is like fire shut up in my bones. You can't tell me to sit down now.
Amen.
He's been too good.
Oh.
Oh, I'm too far gone now, Brother Dwayne. I see God too clear now. I know too much about him. When we can go from the book of Genesis to Revelations to present tense healing, to present tense moving, to present tense revelation, because that's really what I have is a revelation.
Amen.
That's what really stirring me up. I'm saying I see this thing so clear, not even pain. What do I start to sound like now? What scripture do I sound like now? Romans. I'm fully persuaded that not death, nor principalities, nor things present, or things to come. That's how I'm persuaded now. See, I've got scripture to back up what I'm saying. This thing ties into the Bible. But I believe it's so clear now that nothing can get in the way of this thing. Saints, I'm going to just have to stop right now. Come on up, musicians. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Keep praying for those that are along the way. Now, remember, we do not have Bible study tonight. And if I ever get another chance to bring back more information, I will. If not, we move too fast.
You sure can. Well, we'll get two of them. You'll stand in the gap for, okay?
Amen.
You sure can. Let me get some out. Well, I'm getting them. How many do we need? Three, four? No, she's staying with her sister. Perfect. Okay, amen. One.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a real God.
Yeah.
He is a real God. One, two, three. Brother Isaiah. Identifying. Good. I like to see that. Identifying yeah. With our sister. Three of them here. Lord, Brother Branham used to pray when the spirit was high and the faith was built up in the people. Lord, you've shared with us examples through the Bible of how you can trust you and build on their faith. Lord, thank you for bringing the word that's true, Lord. It's brought the sisters here saying, Lord, I know you're more than able. Lord, the scripture says, by your stripes we're healed, Lord. We're stepping out on that. We got Brother Warren up here, Lord. We got sister here. Let them, Lord, just touch them. Lord, give them the push that they need to get through this, Lord. And it says, don't take them out of the world, Lord. I pray that you take them through it, Lord. And just take this as just a sign, as just something, a token that they can hold that you're still there, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Give these two to you for her. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to sing Nothing But the Blood. Amen. Now remember the announcements. We're going to be leaving early. That's only like in 2 weeks. We'll have the sign-up thing there for Wednesday. And remember them as they're traveling. Pastor Moore probably won't be back till about 5 or 6, if that. And Brother Jeremiah will be back next week. And then still remember my buddy Praveen in your prayers as we do that. And all those around the world. Remember the earlies. They're dealing with storms and stuff like that. We prayed. Sister King as well. Remember her. We saw her at the fellowship. But Lord, touch her. She needs a touch. We all need a touch. But Lord, just remember those. Nothing But the Blood. Key of G.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my hope.
This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow.
White as snow, no other found I know. But nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Here to Smith.